Media Masters with Paul Blanchard.
Welcome to Media Masters, a series of one-to-one interviews with people at the top of the media game. Today I'm here in the offices of Hello Magazine and joined by their editor-in-chief, Rosie Nixon. A former associate editor at Glamour Magazine and executive editor at Grazia, Rosie took the top position at Hello in 2008. Over her 10 years at the helm, she's built relationships with some of the world's most famous names, attended and covered exclusive A-list weddings, and published two successful novels, The Stylist and her follow-up, Amber Green Takes Manhattan. Rosie, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
So, Rosie, congratulations on Hello recording the biggest circulation rise across women's lifestyle magazines in the latest figures. How have you achieved that?
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it was a really proud moment for us getting the ABC results earlier this year. I think Hello has an enduring sort of quality. I mean, we've been around for 30 years now, launched in 1988.
Wow. So we're celebrating launching.
Can you?
Can, yeah.
Yeah, with Princess Anne. Princess Anne was on the first cover. Yeah, it was actually the first magazine interview that a member of the royal family had given. And we photographed her inside her apartment at Buckingham Palace. So
wow.
Really special moment to launch. And then since then, you know, our USP has remained the same. You know, we take you inside the lives of the rich and the famous and the fabulous, and they open the doors to their homes. They invite us to their weddings, you know, to take those first images of their newborn babies. And we document, you know, we've become a very royal focused magazine as well, documenting in our full, you know, full size glossy photography, you know, everything that the royal family does, in a way that, you know, other publications don't cover to that level of detail. So I think that's really helped us, you know, keep our position at the forefront of the magazine newsstand.
And what do you think are the key ingredients of the success of the magazine? I mean, I've been a subscriber for nearly 10 years. It's my guilty pleasure.
Oh,
I enjoy it.
Okay.
And for me, I'm a reader because I'm nosy. I like to peer into the lives of the people,
yeah,
that you feature, even the people I've not heard of before,
right,
as well. It's,
well,
just,
yeah,
incredibly
there
intriguing.
Is a bit of a curiosity. Yeah, certainly our features on members of the European royal families are always very popular and an important part of the makeup of Hello. But I think we provide escapism. You know, we take you into this glamorous, fabulous world. You know, we report in a positive way, and I'm very, as I've said many times before, I'm really proud and protective of that philosophy of positive reporting. And I think we're bombarded now, you know, with social media and, you know, a lot of bad news, politically unstable times, that Hello provides some escapism and just takes you away from that, you know, for the 10 minutes that you might choose to sit on the sofa or in the hairdresser's or the doctor's surgery or wherever you are, you know, to take you out of your life and out of that digital world as well. You know, the print is still doing very well for us because I think it's, you know, a luxury experience now to take that time to read a magazine.
And there's a litany of bad news in the daily news every day. It is nice to take that time out and celebrate success and family and people doing well.
Well, it is, yeah. And, you know, that's not to say that we don't ask the difficult questions or tackle, you know, slightly harder subjects. You know, often stars might come to us because they have found themselves in the news and there is an issue that they want to talk about and they know that Hello will give them the space and the long form, you know, ability to do that in the way that you can't often construe your response to a big story over social media, you know, in a limited number of characters. So, yeah, so we're there as well to tackle the difficult subjects, but in the Hello way, in this sort of controlled, protective environment. And we work very closely with the stars and their PRs and their agents, and we've spent the last 30 years doing that. Certainly, yeah, I can't believe I've been at Hello for 10 years now. And, you know, that has been about building on the relationships that I already had established in my career before and keeping those people close and being there when they need, you know, a voice.
Time does fly. I told someone the other day that I was 36 and I'm actually 42 and I meant it when I
know.
Said it. I hadn't realised I've got
We're
that
the
old.
Same age.
It's,
yeah, I know. I think
depressing.
In my head I'm still, yeah, just turning 30.
Is there an ideal issue in your mind's eye? You know, when you've got the first issue, when you've got an issue out the door and then you're starting work on the next one, do you have a kind of formula in terms of light and shade, how many stories, you know, geographic spread? What is the ideal issue of Hello in your mind?
A real mix of kind of news and then exclusive features. So obviously we can't turn around, you know, a big wedding exclusive necessarily that week. Those conversations might have been happening for a year or months, you know, or weeks in the run up. But then we are open to what happens, you know, day by day. And we'll feature news events as they happen during that week. And of course, we have a thriving digital business now. We like to think of Hello as the Hello brand, not, you know, print is still king in our eyes, and it's still sort of the kingpin of the business. But digital is becoming increasingly important, as it is for every media company. We also launched our first event earlier this month. And so we're building on the brand awareness now and seeing where we can go.
How do you put a typical issue together? What is a typical week for you as editor-in-chief of Hello? I mean, I imagine it's all glamorous parties and meeting with the royals, and now you're going to come back and say, of course it's not that. Sitting in finance meetings and talking digital.
There are some glamorous moments. Yeah, each week is very different. I mean, sometimes I find it hard to remember what I was doing the week before because it just goes so quickly. But the week for the print mag sort of gathers in pace really from the Monday up to the time we go to press on a Friday evening. I have two editors of the weekly mag now, so my role has become more about the brand, so I oversee things from an editorial perspective across all of our platforms, and I'm very focused on building brand awareness and engaging with possible new revenue streams for the business. But I'm very hands-on with the print magazine. There's a constant daily dialogue with about features and emails flying right, left and centre, about, exclusives that we're trying to get, our angles on how we should handle news stories. Yeah, there's a very lively discussion constantly, likewise with the online team.
Are you ever short of stories? Because, I mean, we talk to editors of daily newspapers and sometimes, they've got a paper to fill every day.
Yeah.
How does that work with you? Or is there always litany of celebrities that want to...
We never struggle to fill the pages. I mean, often things that felt really important on a Monday or Tuesday suddenly don't feel relevant anymore by the Friday when we're going to press. So that will get thrown out and something new will come in.
You have to be quite brutal, don't you?
You do. And I find that a lot seems to happen on a Thursday evening. Yeah, and suddenly, some weeks we might not have a cover, until Thursday evening or Friday something happens. But we plan ahead as much as we can. Often with the royal engagements, there'll be some notice, so we will know if the Cambridges or Meghan and Harry are due out on an engagement on a Friday, and we'll save space. So it's all a juggling act, really. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I love so much about my job, is that no 2 weeks are the same. And you never know quite what's going to happen. And actually, when a big news story breaks or a royal baby is born, as we're looking ahead to the new baby of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge in April, then it's all hands on deck.
And
we work like a newsroom in turning that around and providing content, across our platforms.
So that'll be the third royal baby for
it. Yes.
My view is they should just get a television, but that's up to them.
I know. I think, she's looked great this pregnancy, although we know pregnancy is not easy for the Duchess of Cambridge, especially at the beginning. But it'll be very exciting. Will it be a boy or girl?
Who knows?
Well, one or the other.
Indeed. And how much of it do you know is going to happen in advance? So, for example, if it's a celebrity or royal wedding, just like when I plan my own wedding, there's a date a few months hence because you've got to send the invites out and everything. Is that quite helpful? But it's not just weddings, parties, product launches. How much of a typical issue has been diarised months ahead?
It's a variety, really. I mean, it's hard to say how much. I mean, we have a features list that's updated weekly, and on that will be some of the projects that we've been working on for a number of weeks or months in advance. Obviously, with the royal wedding, that countdown began the second that they announced the date. So we could plan in advance for how we'll cover that. Team we're going to have in Windsor. Yeah, lots of meetings going on about that at the moment.
And is that a challenge in terms of your coverage? Because by the time you come out, most fans will have, of course, watched it live on television. Yeah. Then there'll be the daily news.
Well, the way that we report it online will obviously be key as well, because we want to grow our audience share and we have a thriving online audience. So that will be just as important to report on the action as it happens. We'll have videographers in Windsor as well. That's another real focus for the business, the video side. But then the magazine, we like to think of Hello as well as the magazine of records. So we really record historical events like a royal wedding in a way that, is quite unique in the marketplace. And I think people do sort of wait for that issue of Hello to hit the newsstand. And once you've got that, it's something that you keep forever. There's a souvenir feel to it. certainly issues that have completely sold out can be found on eBay, you know, selling for huge amounts. And it's something to show your grandkids. And, you know, this is a bit of history documented in one lovely, neat, large, glossy magazine.
How does it work in terms of, this has always fascinated me, how does it work in terms of like people's celebrity value? So, for example, if Meghan and Harry are 10 out of 10, of course, where you would want to cover them automatically, and I'm 1 out of 10 because I'm just some random PR guy, a member of the public that no one cares about. How do you deal with people at maybe at like 4.5 out of 10, where on a slow news week you might include the button, and on the other hand, where they're more keen to get in than you want keen to have them?
Well, we do, you know, we turn down as many features as we put in the magazine. Yeah, we like to, you know, showcase people that are genuine talents, you know, that are famous for a reason, for having a particular skill in an area. We've featured lots of sports personalities, weddings, you know, especially around the Olympics, lots of great stories came out from that. So we don't feature just anybody. We kind of think about how relevant they are to our audience. Obviously, first and foremost, we're here to service our audience. But generally, if we find it interesting in the office, then that's a pretty good barometer. And there has to be a good story there. You know, we're journalists. We really love a gripping story, as well as the glamorous photography, obviously, and something that's going to be a bit of a spectacle. We're a very photo-focused title. Images, sort of almost, images and a strong line, you know, are just as important, but the images really have to sing and draw you in. So we feature a whole variety of personalities. No, I would never say no to anything until perhaps I'd seen the photos or learnt a bit more.
Oh, that means you would say no to anything I would ever send in.
Depends who you were marrying or, yeah.
Well, or one half of my marriage is actually reasonably attractive. It's just, it's just the me bit that isn't.
Yeah.
And does that often happen where, you know, people that you've never heard of some speculatively send in 10 pictures of their wedding and say, can you cover it?
Not really. Ah. I mean, yeah, we did have a feature focusing on readers' weddings. Actually, that's something we probably will introduce again, maybe online, because the idea of having your photo, your wedding photo in Hello is quite a fun thing. And that became very popular for a while. So, yeah, we're definitely looking at that again.
Do you have a typical reader in mind when you produce the magazine? And you mentioned there, and it's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, is the move to digital and how you're promoting that. Is the person who looks at Hello Magazine digitally, are they a different demographic? We speak
they
to some
are.
Editors of magazines that say in print it's a sort of 50-year-old person, but digitally we're trying to attract a younger market.
There are definitely distinct markets, and audiences in the print and the digital offering. Print tends to be slightly older, sort of late 30s, early 40s women, and the digital tends to be younger. So there are some personalities that might do particularly well online that probably wouldn't be quite right for the print magazine. So I think definitely as an editor you have to be aware of your different audiences and that you're servicing them well, but still within the Hello, you know, tone and, you know, the framework that's suitable for the brand. So there's a treatment to all of our stories that's you know, the same across all platforms.
And how does it work in terms of, like, every editor has this problem when there's a digital presence as to how much you actually put online, because if you put everything online, that people have no reason to buy the magazine.
We PR all of our big stories online, so that's almost like a taster, and we might send an image or video material later in the week to give it a second push. But you get to read the full story in the print magazine. So, and also, if we're showcasing somebody's home or, you know, their wedding photos, and often they don't want that whole album to be available online for forevermore. It's very hard for them to then police those images. And so that again, I think, has contributed to our strong sales in the print, that you really do get something exclusive every single week that you can't find elsewhere. I think that's very key to print titles now.
How does it work then in terms of your own personal network then? Is a lot of people that you featured in the magazine, do they become friends? Do you build up quite a close relationship with them? That must be quite exciting, actually.
It is.
Or is it work?
Well, no, it's a very unique relationship at Hello. You know, you could never become blasé about discussing somebody's wedding with them. You know, this is something that goes above and beyond the promotion that they might do, you know, in the light of in promoting their latest film or music project or whatever it is. This is their wedding. You know, there is no dress rehearsal. This is the big day with all the family there, and they want to switch off and enjoy it, you know, not feel that it's work. So you do, become quite close to them in those those discussions in the run up, and you know, we all have the same intention that we just want it to be an amazing day. And the great thing about having your wedding in Hello is that it's not really any different to how it would be anyway. You know, I think every wedding I've ever been to, you know, there's a photographer there and with their assistant, and certain groupings are needed for images for posterity. And that's very exactly the same in the Hello wedding.
Normal weddings, I know, it's like an hour and a half.
So there is no difference. Yeah. And, you know, I've attended a number of weddings and I have become good friends with all of the people whose weddings I've attended, which is really lovely. And we do, that's, you know, how, you know, as I discussed before about that long-term relationship that we build with stars. And then they give us a call to let us know that they're pregnant and would we like to announce that news? And then we follow them through their lives.
And that's
a real honour.
I was going to say it's a real honour. Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether you can name names, but who are the best friends of the magazine?
Who's a joy to work with? Well, Rod Stewart, we've featured him a lot over the years. He renewed his vows to Penny recently, and that was like
years,
a second wedding. Yeah.
So
we followed him through. He's a complete legend. Yeah, and we really do like to feature people that with genuine talents, as I said before. Everybody that we've worked with has been great because you get to know kind of their family as well. Martine McCutcheon's wedding springs to mind as well. That was an amazing wedding in Lake Como. We became very good friends after that. I was lucky enough to attend Sam Branson's wedding in Ulasaba in the private game reserve in South Africa. That was an incredible wedding.
My invite got lost in the post,
did
unfortunately.
It? Oh,
yeah,
no.
I complained to the Royal Mail, but they said
I was
crazy. Yeah. So awful.
Yeah, we had all kinds of dramas with sending back the pictures, actually, because I remember there was a terrible storm then the night that I had to get everything back, so we were going to press with it the following day at Hello. And Sir Richard even offered me use of a private jet to sort of get me somewhere that I could send the photos. I know. But then thankfully, yeah, the power came back on. But if you're in the middle of nowhere in the bush, even Sir Richard Branson can't sort out the weather. So that was good fun. Yeah, things unforeseen things happen at weddings sometimes. And yeah, we have to make that work and send the issue to press. But every wedding's different. You know, it depends on the couple and the kind of plans that they have in store for their day. And every wedding, yeah, is completely unique. And that's great fun for us as well. It means every cover of Hello is unique.
And has the magazine changed over the last 10 years in terms of the way that you've physically put it together? I mean, there was digital photography 10 years ago when you joined, but now, is it an all-digital platform now? You know, you might be covering a wedding, but people might be live-tweeting that wedding as well, other guests.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, kind of keeping the exclusivity on something has its challenges now, certainly with the social media. But generally, we don't find it too much of a problem. I think if the couple have decided they want Hello to cover their wedding exclusively, they let their guests know. And generally, the guests, you know, understand. And they're not going to break that exclusivity agreement or do something to upset the couple.
It's just rude, isn't it, if you're the guest at someone's wedding.
And actually, people, you know, sometimes decide to ban mobile phones at the wedding. And that isn't necessarily our instruction, that they actually feel they want to get married and not walk back down the aisle to a sea of handsets, which can spoil the day. So often people are quite happy for that control to be taken away and, you know, to not have that concern. Certainly in terms of putting the magazine together, when you look back to 1988 and there were proofs that were put together, you know, literally cut out pictures and almost like a scrapbook magazine. So things have definitely moved on a great deal there. And obviously now we are a fully digitized operation.
Because
which is a lot quicker, you know, when stories then break late on a Friday, we can quickly turn that around, ready to go to press, still hit our deadline.
And is there a timing issue? So, because, I mean, if you have a photographer at a wedding, they could upload the pictures to the office within minutes of them.
We do often turn things around very, very quickly. It depends when the wedding's happening and when we want to go to press. Generally, we'll go to press on a Friday night, but we have held open on a Saturday if a wedding has taken place on that day and we want to still get it into the issue. That's the beauty of just being Hello, really, and not being part of a bigger publishing house, which might have a group of titles that all have their key slots at the printer and there are immovable schedules. We are very flexible, which is, you know, really great.
Does it work the other way, where celebrities arrange their wedding around your print schedule?
Occasionally. Generally, we would encourage them to stick to what they want to do, you know, and Hello is there to showcase things, you know, in a beautiful way afterwards.
So what are the best stories that you've worked on in the last 10 years? What sticks out?
Well, gosh, I'll never forget the royal wedding of William and Kate. That was incredible at Westminster Abbey and very busy day. I'm glad I've had that dress rehearsal as we look ahead to Harry and Meghan's, although I'm sure Prince Harry wouldn't think of it as a dress rehearsal. That was a very busy day. Everybody worked well into the night. I think it was 6 a.m. when I left this office. The sun was coming up, but we put the issue to press as quickly as we could, work through the night, and then we could be on sale just 48 hours later nationwide. And we sold out within a few days, so we ended up having to reprint. So it was very exciting to know.
I mean, that's
that
a great problem to have, isn't it, to sell out and have to print more copies, to say the obvious.
It was really very exciting moment. So that one really sticks out in particular. And of course, waiting for royal babies is always quite fun. You have to keep your diary relatively clear, not knowing when this baby's going to arrive, and then turn things around again. We'll work into the night to get that issue on sale with those first images.
And it's obviously important with us having a royal family that they have that sense of mystique, but they can also connect with audiences. And Hello's a big part of that, that whilst it's done with dignity, that you also do feel that you get to know them in a way that still holds them on a pedestal and keeps them a bit remote.
That's it. And we show everything, you know, every last image. So with the royal wedding, we will go into all the details, you know, all of the notable guests that attend.
That's the best
Everything bit. That is seen and heard, yeah, on that day will appear in Hello rather than the top lines, you know, that might appear in other publications. We really go into great detail, and I think our readers appreciate that. It's why the issues kind of hang around sometimes in doctor's surgeries for the full 30 years. There's always something to revisit when you pick up that issue of Hello.
And with that access that you have to the royals, whilst did you ever feel a tiny bit sorry for them? Because, yes, they've got all that privilege and all that resources, but on the other hand, all of them are living their entire lives 24/7 in the public eye, and they can't ever step away from that.
Well, it's certainly a huge responsibility to be born into, and Prince William and Harry have spoken recently, you know, about there have been difficult moments, you know, on that journey, because they can never escape it. But I think that they are using their platform to tremendous good, and the spotlight that they're putting on various causes is really incredible. And they have this platform that's sort of super A-list. It's beyond any kind of celebrity platform that we know. I think especially the work of their Heads Together campaign and the spotlight they've put on mental health issues had global pickup. And that's really an incredible stage. And I think they're really using the power that they have to great good, which is thoroughly commendable and something I greatly, hugely admire.
You mentioned about the digital strategy a while back. I mean, obviously we're in a hugely competitive, you know, the celebrity world is hugely competitive on digital, and you've got sites like Mail Online getting millions of daily views. Is your strategy to differentiate yourself from that? Because whilst the Mail Online is the most popular news website in the world, you know, the so-called sidebar of shame, it's actually gratuitous, it's disrespectful to women, and I actually try not to look at it because I actually don't feel nice after looking at it. It's a polar opposite of the kind of respectful, warm tone of Hello. How do you chase the clicks, though, whilst maintaining, you know, being true to your values?
Well, I think keeping our core audience happy, you know, always comes first. And certainly upholding the Hello tone of that warm and positive approach is very important to us. I think we'd rather go for the right kind of audience plus audience figures. I mean, we want them both, obviously. We want to grow our audience too. And we want to be attractive to commercial partners because that's such a key part, you know, of the business, what keeps it afloat. So it's a balancing act, really, growing that audience, but within the Hello framework of what is suitable for our brand. But fortunately, there is always plenty of material. We also have a thriving lifestyle section on the magazine, so fashion, beauty is very key to us. Cookery, travel too.
In terms of the way you divide your time as editor-in-chief, how does that work? Because we speak to some editors and they say, I really want to focus on the journalism. And then others say, that, you know, I've got a great team of journalists, so I end up doing like HR and strategy and the kind of business side of it. How do you, you know, what is a typical week? How do you divide your time? Are you in endless meetings?
I am in endless meetings. Yeah, they're getting more and more so, actually. But I'm very focused on at the moment on our 30th birthday celebrations, which is a big event that we're planning for May the 9th.
My postman is on standby, just
oh,
so
really?
You know.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We'll have to see how well this goes first. Well, on May the 9th, we're working on a big collaboration with Dover Street Market, which I can talk about now, which is very exciting. So the designers of Dover Street Market are taking the Hello logo, giving it their own spin and creating items of fashion that will go on sale for a limited time in Dover Street Market.
Wow.
With proceeds going to two charities, to Centre Barley, the charity of which Prince Harry is a founding royal patron, and also David Beckham's Seven Fund in conjunction with UNICEF. So we're hoping to raise a huge amount for charity. There's also an auction of money can't buy items donated by stars and big fashion brands that will be going under the hammer in an online auction. So that's taking up a lot of time. It's going to be a big event on May the 9th, and we'll be celebrating it in the following week's issue of Hello. So I'm working on kind of bigger brand ideas at the moment, which I really love doing. But that said, I mean, I'm a journalist at heart. I have such a keen interest in the magazine. I always do the cover every Friday, write the cover lines. I love doing that, yeah, every week. So.
And no one will ever take that away from you.
No, I mean, it's a collaborative. It's a fantastic team at Hello. I really feel that we have got our A team in place, which is really great. So I am, yeah, hands-on, but it's a collaborative process.
And did you always want to be a journalist? If you don't mind, talk us through your career.
Yeah, I always had a love of writing. So certainly the writing bug was in me from a young age. My mum likes to regale the stories and the letters that I used to write to all kinds of family members when I was little. And then at university, I studied at the University of Sussex and I did a history degree. But I majored in the history of fashion in my final year. So always kind of had a keen interest in fashion as well. And then I ended up working for a book publishers for 3 years in Brighton when I graduated, which was a really great experience, editing, copy, commissioning, working with illustrators. And then my first job in magazines, which always makes people laugh, was as editor of Barbie magazine.
I didn't even know Barbie had a magazine.
I know,
we will be getting the editor on Media Masters shortly.
Yeah, it still sells. Yeah, it's one of the highest selling magazines for girls.
Is there a Cindy magazine and they're total rivals?
I don't think there is a Cindy magazine, no. But it was working closely with Mattel, who obviously owned the Barbie license. But even then, I was very keen to make Barbie a sort of rounded magazine that would appeal to all girls, and would spend my days writing stories about Barbie and Ken and creating word searches, but actually learning about the whole of the magazine process, from flat planning to commissioning features, writing the features myself, editing them when they came in, subbing them, being the production editor too, briefing the art director on the design, sending it off to repro, checking proofs, the whole
lot. So really learning the whole 360
of
the job.
Yeah, so in a kind of smaller scale, I got to learn, you know, what being an editor was from scratch, really. And then I stayed in children's magazines for a while, ended up at Bliss magazine, which was a popular magazine for teenage girls.
Is that not going anymore? I don't actually remember that. I never read it, I might add.
Yes, okay.
just to be
clear.
And
then from then, have always been in glossy magazines. I've worked for Red magazine, Glamour magazine, for Grazia for 2 years soon after it launched, and then was approached by Hello.
And you must have known at the time that was the top job.
The Hello job. Yeah. Well, I came in as assistant editor, and then not long after I'd been here, the editor left. So I was sort of acting editor for a while, which again was a really good way of testing, you know, how I'd be in that hot seat without having the full pressure on my shoulders. And then I was joint editor for a number of years and then became editor.
That's right. I remember you being joint editor.
Yeah. But the role was very clearly split between the other girl was more on the production side and I was more features. And building on those relationships that I'd established with stars from, you know, earlier in my career, I used to commission the cover features for Glamour magazine. So many trips to LA and New York and places.
Sounds horrendous.
Befriending publicists. Yeah.
Do you cry yourself to sleep every night?
Well, there were some stressful times when a cover falls through at the last moment. And it's such a key, you know, you have to shout from the newsstand. You have to connect with your audience in a couple of seconds, otherwise they're going to move on. So getting the right person, and timing is everything, getting them in the right moment, getting them to give you a really good, juicy interview is key for the glossy magazines as it is for the newspapers too. I think I was perhaps lucky in that I started my career at a time when celebrity was really beginning to sell. Brands were switching from having models fronting their campaigns to a famous face. So it was actually at Bliss magazine that I was the first celebrity editor there. They hadn't really had that role before. It was the features editor kind of role before. Everybody did a bit of that. But I was really focused on that. So from that time was in that area, building up those relationships. And it's really nice because lots of the PRs and agents that I work with now, I have been there from when they were the assistant to the big publicists. So we've gone through our careers together.
I mean, your contact book must be amazing. I'd love for you to like leave your iPhone unlocked no, for half an hour.
I am just a bit paranoid about ever losing my phone. Because often at Hello, we do deal directly with the stars. Often they will come to us directly, yeah, if it is a personal story. So you do build up that relationship, which is really lovely.
And do they contact you as well when they're in town? I'm friends with a guy called Lawrence Atkinson. He's a Hollywood PR guy.
Okay.
And I was once having dinner with him about 7 or 8 months ago, and his assistant contacted my assistant and said, oh, Robert Redford's in town, and he's just asked Lawrence for dinner. So, and I was thinking, what's next?
Yes.
And then it was like, so would you mind if Lawrence postponed his arrangements?
Oh, no, you didn't get invited.
I got blown out for Robert.
But, oh, no.
But, you know, that's better than being blown out for, you know, just the cleaner or something.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, that's quite a big good reason to be blown out.
So do you often get that, where Robert Redford's team will say he's in town on Wednesday, fancy
well,
dinner?
Well, not so much. It would be more that if I'm in LA, you know, then I would let the people know that I know out there, and we would probably meet up for a coffee or catch up. But you have to be seen out and about, and I really encourage our team to go out and about, because at events, you know, they're very key to Hello, to establish those relationships and have a chat with somebody directly, and then you're forefront in their mind when they do have a big story that they want to tell. So developing those relationships is certainly part of everybody's job description, really, at Hello.
So in terms of working in your job, you've been doing it 10 years, you can get the magazine out every week. What's top of your to-do list in terms of working on the job? Like, where are you going to take the brand and everything forward? How are you going to grow it? Mm. Is it geographically, digitally? You mentioned these events, and so you've got the anniversary coming up. What's top of your to-do list in that
digital
area?
Digital is a very big area of focus for us at the moment. Likewise, video. We've recently opened a small studio within the building, and that was a new addition. It did used to be the photocopy cupboard, but it's doing very well. It's a mini studio.
Lick a paint, and it's an ideal.
But we're out and about as well. We're, you know, being on the red carpet is very important for Hello, but being behind the scenes on our shoots, there has to be some video content alongside the written word today. And certainly it's one of our objectives to have video in every single story online. The way that people are consuming their media has changed so much in the last 10 years that I've been at Hello, and being available on the handset mobile version is key as well. So we are going to be putting a lot of focus and investment in digital. Likewise, we're hoping to see the print stay as strong as we are. We're really hoping for some great sales around the royal wedding time. And I think Hello will continue to be there in moments of historical significance. And certainly our big glossy photo format, there are no plans to change that, which is quite an interesting thing to be doing, you know, at a time when other media houses are scaling back on the print. We actually launched a monthly fashion magazine, Hello Fashion Monthly, 3 years ago, which was a crazy thing to do in these times of print.
Ambitious.
Struggling, yeah, ambitious. And again, aimed at slightly different audiences, maybe just slightly younger than the Hello Weekly audience. And that is doing really well, holding a strong position in what is a very tough market with the monthly glossies. But it all is serving to build up our brand. We're, you know, small compared to a lot of other media houses, but we're not when you look at the figures. So
you're small insofar as you're a one-off independent brand, but you're massive in terms of the recognisability and the brand strength. Everyone's heard of Hello
Well,
magazine.
That's it. Yeah, and that was really great when I met Adrian Joff, who's the owner of Dover Street Market and CEO of Comme des Garçons, who I've been working with for our 30th birthday. And he, you know,
no one says, and where are you from again?
Yes, yeah. And he was like, gosh, I love Hello magazine. I read it on the Eurostar when I'm going back and forth every week. You tell me everything I need to know about royal showbiz news that week. If it's in Hello, then I should know about it.
we work with ultra high net worth individuals, and our biz dev person Victoria, she reads Hello as a prospect.
Yeah, religiously. It's the Bible. A PR said to me this week, actually. Yeah,
I know a few charities though that are targeting like philanthropists, and Hello magazine is a source of intel.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you know, it's like a snapshot of the zeitgeist at any given time. You can look back through. We have on our shelves outside all of the every issue from when we launched, and you look back through that and you can instantly see who were the movers and shakers of the day, what were the fashions, what was happening in politics. It's a really interesting snapshot of the week.
And in the old days, sort of 30 years ago, you had the newsstand, and that was about it, really. There was the revenue came from newsstand and advertising. Now, even the magazine has different forms of revenue. Like, for example, the printed magazine. Like, I used to subscribe, and I'm now a subscriber of Readly. It's like Spotify for magazines.
Right, oh, yes.
It's 10 quid a month, and you get access to tons of magazines, including Hello.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I don't subscribe to Hello now, because I can still read it every week.
Yeah.
So you've got advertising...
Do you read it
like
digitally
that?
Then?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
Even on my iPhone sometimes, if I've not got my iPad with me, because the photography, the full page photography is so strong, it still looks good on an iPhone.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true. And I think really the consumer wants choice these days. You know, we want to be able to consume whatever media we want in whatever format we want and when we want it. So if you're going to survive as a media company, you have to be available in all of those formats on all of those platforms, because the reader is discerning from one week to the next. Sometimes you fancy the print if you're getting on an aeroplane and you want to sit back and have a more kind of relaxed experience with a print magazine. But then likewise, you might be on holiday and not want that baggage. So the iPad comes, and that's an easier way to consume. So we just have to be available on every platform, and it has to be a really high standard. That's what the consumer and our audience expects.
And moving on from like the good old days of just purely newsstand and advertising, you've now got all of these various platforms, but you've got like brand partnerships as well, recognising the strength that a brand being associated with Hello is going to benefit them, not just merely advertising in your magazine, but you lending some of your kudos to them.
That's right. It's a very exciting and interesting time with regards to advertising, because it's not just about taking out that print page in the magazine. It's about a 360 approach, and how can we offer something digitally, something, a social campaign perhaps, some Facebook Lives. Facebook's a very strong platform for us, as well as our fashion and weekly magazine offering. So it is all about partnerships and working with brands in a whole variety of ways. Kind of anything goes. So it's much more creative. I really like that when we get a brief in from an advertiser and they're asking us to really think hard about how we could convey the message that they want. I think we're all creative people that work in this industry. So that's really great. And to build up a relationship, a partnership with that advertiser.
And despite being editor-in-chief of Hello magazine and all of the business flying backwards and forwards to LA, like you said, you've also found time to write two novels. Mm. Well, first of all, how have you found time? What are you on? What's the secret? Maybe the third book could be a time management book, actually, because I want to do that. Tell us about your writing outside of Hello.
Yeah, well, writing is always something I've wanted to do. Writing a novel was a real aim of mine from a young age, and it was a real labour of love. I loved doing it, and I think if you enjoy something so much, then you can always find time for it. I wrote a lot of The Stylist, my first book, when I was finishing my first maternity leave with my first child. And actually, I quite liked having something else going on, a sort of excuse to pop out for a couple of hours and go and pick up the book. And it's a comedy, romantic comedy book set in the fashion world. And I found that I'd done a lot of the research already, except between London and LA during awards season. So I was drawing on lots of my experiences, although everything is fictionalised, I assure you. And I actually wrote a lot of it.
We'll cut that bit out so that everyone will think, oh, is this an
autobiography? No, don't cut that bit out. And I actually wrote a lot of it on my iPhone and my iPad, because they were portable and I could write wherever I was. And yeah, excitingly, The Stylist is actually being made into a movie at the moment. It's in development. It was announced officially. I've known about this for about a year, but I can finally talk about it
That's
now.
That's exciting. Well, tell us about it immediately.
Yeah, well, it's Karen McCullough is writing the screenplay. She wrote Legally Blonde and 10 Things I Hate About You.
Well, so I've heard of that.
So I met her a couple of weeks ago in LA, and she was great. And she's really invested a lot in the project. So the script, I think, is going to be ready in about 5 weeks' time. So that'll be really exciting to read.
Incredibly exciting.
And then they're hoping to start filming by the end of the year.
dare we suggest any casting suggestions?
I know, there have been lots of names flying around. I know.
Anyone you say now, a couple of weeks when this podcast comes out, will have, you know, something will have happened.
God, so
you,
yeah, you so I don't want to name any names, yeah.
It's going
to
be exciting,
though. But the book
though.
Centres around a big super stylist to the stars and her dressing the stars for award season. So I think probably an established actress would be great seeing that role. And then the role of my sort of protagonist, who's called Amber Green, who's a younger British girl, could be maybe somebody that's more of an up-and-comer.
Is there any character in the novel that will be in the screenplay that's like a kind of 40-year-old short Yorkshireman who doesn't really dress well, but perhaps
there is a kind of showbiz interviewer.
I am maybe. Available.
Yeah, are you? Okay.
Well, we're doing a showbiz interview now, really. Yeah. You know them all.
I'll put you in touch with my producer, darling.
This is just my audition, essentially, isn't it?
So that's, yeah, it's been a great experience. I'm just enjoying the ride and seeing how that's all coming together. And I'm with HarperCollins in the UK. And the stylist is coming out in the States, actually, in September. So that'll be fun. I'll be in New York doing some promoting for that during Fashion Week. So I really enjoy having that going on, actually. I think it's really nice to have something that's so you and is a labour of love, a passion project, if you like. So I really enjoy having the writing in my life.
We mentioned there was two novels. I mean, clearly there's the one that's been turned into a film. What about the other
one? Yeah, the other one is a sequel. Yeah, so it's Amber Green Takes Manhattan. So the key character goes off to New York. So they've optioned that one as well. So we'll see what happens with that.
Is it going to be a trilogy?
There is possibly a third. Actually, the third book I'm writing is something very different at the moment. More
Amber
of
Green
a thriller.
Goes to the moon.
Different genre.
Amber Green
Who
is
knows?
Jason Bourne.
Yeah. Who knows? But there will be a third Amber Green. Then I think that'll be it, a trilogy for those. I miss her, you see.
My wife's published a novel. And she's got a second one coming out. But do you feel a sense of... responsibility though with your third novel, that you've had two really, you know, impactful, good, well received. Does it put the pressure on to deliver it, or
can't wait to write it. Actually, for me, the time is an issue, so I've actually just delayed the deadline for my third one because there is just not enough hours at the moment, and I really love my job at Hello. I need to focus on that. I have a young family as well, so the weekends are not a rest at the moment. I'm up at the crack of dawn and it's go until bedtime.
There's a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah,
that I can
there's
see,
not really much time to write a novel at the moment, but I'm sure it's something that I'll have in my life always, and I'll come back to it when the time's right.
I mean, it's not my business. You might not want to answer this, but do you think there'll be a time when you become such a successful novelist, and if these movies go stratospheric, that you might move on from Hello Magazine and go into writing full-time?
I don't know. It's certainly not in my plan at the moment. Hello's got a hell of a lot of life left in it, so I want to be here to enjoy that ride. But the writing, I think I'll definitely always have in my life. I think if you're a writer, and now that I've done it as well, completing a novel feels like such a ridiculously huge undertaking at the beginning, but somehow the words do start to stack up, as I'm sure your wife will agree, and you get there in the end, and it's a real sense of achievement when you've finished.
Absolutely. So whenever you do move on, whether that be 30 years, 20 years, whenever it is, that you will be replaced by someone. What advice would you give them now if they're just starting out, if they've finished their journalism degree, they start out their career, and they've read Hello Magazine for years, and they think, you know, ultimately I want to be editor of Hello Magazine. What advice would you give someone starting out in their career that wants to be the next you?
Gosh, well, I think you have to go for it. Make yourself stand out from the crowd and don't be shy about getting that work experience. I mean, a foot in the door really is invaluable. I had got my first job in book publishing through being the work experience person, made the tea for everybody, showed an interest in stuff, and then became editorial assistant, and then sort of worked my way up. And certainly we have some great interns at Hello who we then proudly watch go off, but try to keep a relationship with them and support them as they go forward. With social media now, there are so many opportunities to start making a name for yourself from your home, you know, from your desk. All you need is your handset, and you could start a blog, start really working on your Instagram account. You know, we see these people that now make a living, and the Instagrammers that make a living from blogging,
and that's so, all Greek to me. I don't understand any of that.
I know it's a very different old, world, yeah, for the up and coming journalists, really. But do study journalism as well, and learn, you know, the facts about writing good articles, and that will always stand you in good stead.
I mean, you must be inundated with applications, given the strength of your brand.
We have an internship program now. Yeah, well, we try to take take people on now for 3 months at a time, because then it really gives them time to get into the role. I think there's only so much you can learn in a week, really. And people, I want them to be mentored by great key members of staff and to build a bit of relationship. So we have a really great girl in at the moment, and that's working really well for us. It's a huge benefit for us to get their opinions. Hello is read from everybody from sort of 18 to 80, so we need that younger input too. But I think certainly digitally it's a very exciting time for individuals to start building up a profile from home. So I would say, I mean, just go for it. Don't hold back. People love self-starters and people that are enthusiastic. And it's a fantastic career to have to be a journalist. So go for it.
Of your career so far, what's been the worst day so far? And what's been the best day? Let's finish on a high note.
Oh, gosh, the worst day. Well, it's always hard when you get a sales figure that isn't what you expected it to be.
I have that all the
and
time.
And certainly, you know, I've learned lessons when we have not achieved a result that we wanted to or we thought we would from a certain exclusive, and you have to learn from that mistake. You know, nothing, we're never, ever perfect. And a lot of the time it is just down to opinion, really. And
also, if you're going to innovate and you're going to try genuine things, then
yes,
you've got
it
to
doesn't
be
always
to
work.
Fail,
and I think
course.
You have to be happy with those failings as well and see that as a natural part of your role. But to try and learn by them and work out, you know, what went wrong and how we can avoid doing that again. And that's still a learning process. Certainly, yeah, the happiest days probably tied in with that are those when you receive a happy, huge sales figure, or the issue sells out and you're in the happy position of having to print more. Although then you always wish that you printed more in the first place and could have saved some money for the budget.
Commercial balance is horrendous,
I know,
isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. It's always a balancing act. But I have a really supportive boss who's the owner of Hello over in Madrid, and it feels like a collaborative process. But it is a changing time for media, but it's also an exciting time with more opportunities available to us. So certainly the way that we're reinventing how we work with our commercial partners and how we're really maximising the opportunities available digitally keeps the job constantly challenging and exciting to me.
When was the last time that you were truly surprised by something in the job?
Gosh, I think it's always a surprise or exciting to hear from our digital manager when she says, gosh, we just like got an unbelievable amount of uniques from releasing this exclusive. And then we'll look at the way that we did that and if we should release information the same way next time or why that did particularly well. Sometimes it's the stories that I wouldn't necessarily have expected to be the biggest that suddenly do well for some reason. So that's always exciting. That's always, yeah, surprising to hear. But I mean, the great thing at Hello is you never know who you're going to pick up the phone to. And often I might pick up the phone and it's some huge A-list wedding that somebody wants to discuss. And that's obviously really an exciting surprise to have. So as often as the phone can ring in that way.
Do you, as a final question, do you need anyone to carry your bags for you? Because I am available.
Yeah.
This sounds like an amazing
really?
Lifestyle.
Well,
yeah.
Our
I work
internship
for minimum wage.
Program. yeah, well, we need a podcast arm, perhaps. So, yeah.
Oh, I'd get someone good. I wouldn't get me at all. Rosie, it's been an absolutely fascinating conversation. Thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
A Right Angles podcast in association with Big Things Media.